Hi everyone, this is part three of the fourth annual NWR Telethon recording. This one's only 2 hours long, and the fourth part will also be 2 hours long. It seemed like the most logical way to split it up. But wanted to let you guys know that at the very beginning of this segment, the Skype call had been going for already 6 hours, and it was starting to get kind of laggy and kind of not sounding very good. And so after a couple of minutes into this first segment, you will hear, I think, a moment when it starts to sound a lot better. That's when we restarted the Skype call. I edited out a little bit of blank space there. But anyway, I just want to let people know if it doesn't sound very good right away, it does get better a couple minutes in. And that's it. I hope you will enjoy the show, and we'll see you for the last part a little bit later.
Hey guys, Nintendo Wear was fun. I listened.
Thanks.
And now I gotta be doing that shit live again.
There you go.
I don't know. I mean, we hit the stretch goal that we came up with at about, I don't know, 3 o'clock today. And we're a live connectivity show. That should be cool.
Yeah, we'll have to announce that in just a little bit once we've all figured out what we're actually going to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. All right. So I guess do we have my Nintendo Free Radio cohorts on the line?
Yo.
Hello.
And we're missing
all
a
right,
Donald.
I'm out. Good luck, guys.
All right. Later,
guys.
Zach.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Hi.
Donald should have came in on the same stream as you, Neil.
Oh, well, not again.
No.
Yeah. All right. Let's do some introductions, because not everyone might be familiar with your voices. So we have Austin Parkin.
Yeah.
Your wars in the forums. Correct.
Yep, that is correct.
And we got Steven Shook. Is that... I mean, your last name feels like that. Maybe there's some hidden pronunciation in it, but just Shook.
It
like
is
you've been
not
shaken,
but not stirred.
Okay, all right. And you're Sarek on the forums.
Yep, I'm Sarek on the forums at Sarek Me on Twitter, and I'm the one with the kid on NFR and everything like that. And yes, people do misspell my last name tons.
Is it
just
Steven
so simple.
Shake?
No, they want to spell it S-C-H-U-C-H or S-C-H-A-U-C-H. And it's just like past tense of shake, folks.
And then we got, all right, let me see. Right, Donald Terrio.
That's right.
Yeah. Sorry. And you're Shaman on the forum. Who doesn't? And yeah. I guess before we get into the 3DS report card, do you guys want to kind of... take a minute to let everyone know about what Nintendo Free Radio is and what it's all about.
Yeah, basically we started the podcast. Originally it was just as a fill-in because the regular RFN crew was taking the week off, but basically it's a podcast by the NWR forums for the forums. And so we have our usual now posted segment when there's enough good material to justify it.
And by good, we mean that very, very loosely.
Yeah, we have some similar segments to what you'd hear on an episode of RFN, but we do give it our own twist, and we do tend to go off topic to sort of represent those sections of the forums as well.
Yeah, we got a TV. We have a new business, the TV section, because on the forums we seem to talk a lot about in the TV threads, and then we've got mushrooms. Just, well, you know, got to complain about some.
All right, and now we've got the next hour here. I'm Neil Ronahan. If people recognize my voice, I realized I did not introduce myself. And we're going to talk about a 3DS report card. And
well, Neil, you did too. I mean, I know
I'm,
around
I,
our
I'm
circles.
I'm the director of NintendoWorldReport.com. I also am a co-host on Connectivity and relative man about town.
Contributes to Nintendo Force. I mean,
yes.
Starts with an N. That's Neil.
Yes. And then IGN. that right there. All right. I guess do we have all the relevant parties on?
Yeah, I'm
yes,
here.
Folks. It's live like radio, everyone.
Yep. All right. So
doing better than last year.
Hey, the first rule about last year is shut the fuck up about last year.
I wasn't gonna bring it up. You guys brought it up. So let's start off by talking about, well, we'll go around our little team here and talk about our personal grades for the 3DS, and then we will talk about how the 3DS has been doing sales-wise, some news, talk about some games, and then we'll get a bunch of listeners to call in. So I guess, Steven, let's start with you. If you had to give a 3DS a letter grade, what would you give it and why?
I probably have to give it a B on everything. There's a lot of great showings, but doing this list for the list I've been doing for this particular segment and looking at it, I keep coming across the things like, oh yeah, that was this year, and realizing that I never got around to actually buying them, like Brain Age. And since we're rolling it up into one grade, I would put that more towards a marketing fail of Nintendo. Stuff that there's stuff I missed, and I'm a Nintendo fan.
Yeah. And Donald, how about you?
I'm going to give it the worst grade of all. A minus minus. No, just
minus minus.
Nah, just an A minus, because sure, it has had a really good year, everything from Gunman Clive right up through Senran Kagura, but there have been a few dry spots this year. I can't slam it too hard when I put 200 hours into a game and I got to put social media manager on my resume because of the 3DS.
That's Fire Emblem, right?
No, that was Pokemon.
Man, I can't even fathom putting 200 hours into a game. Just me as a 15-year-old is still like, holy shit, that is a lot of time to put into a game.
I had a lot of free time at work in
October. Don't start Monster Hunter, Neil.
Don't worry. We don't have him play 3DS anymore during that time. We just have him edit podcasts.
All right, Austin, what would you give the 3DS?
Oh, I'm so glad Steven went before I did, because I'm going to give it a B+, as you know, just between you two, because to be honest, I look over the year here and I see that the 3DS had a lot of games. It had a lot of very high profile games, but also a lot of games that honestly I either didn't care about or I thought were really underwhelming, like both of the Shin Megami Tensei games, as well as Donkey Kong Country and Project X Zone, Mario and Luigi Dream Team. And to be honest, I just started playing Zelda and I'm really not feeling it right now.
You're an insane person. Gonna say it right here. That game is delightful.
Hey, I just started it, so I haven't even gone to where the big shop comes in.
Yeah, if they don't start opening it up soon for me too, it's just gonna be like, I don't want to have to find a certain widget.
In all honesty, with Zelda, give it a little time, because once it opens up and over, that's when I think the game starts to sing.
I would like to say that I've gotten my hooks into Zelda, but thanks, Future Shop, for delaying my shipment.
Yeah, no, I saw that on Twitter. That sucks. And it seems like you are not the only person that has a bunch of pre-ordered stuff that didn't get sent out to come on Friday.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that all just Future Shop, all you Canadian folk?
Yeah, I think it's mainly because they got slammed at E3 with discounted pre-orders. So now the time comes to fill it. It's like, oh, my God, what do we do?
Well, with all those crazy deals up in Canada land, I mean, I don't know how they're making their money.
All right. Well, for me, I think I might be the most optimistic one here, which I don't know if that's surprising or what, but I think I'd give it about I think I want to give the 3DS an A. And this might be the first time that I think that a system deserves an A for a year. And it's not necessarily because, like, oh, you know, there was something coming out every day of, you know, that, like, you know, multiple games a month that were coming out. And it's not like the third party scene was that balanced. It's basically like Atlus and I guess like Capcom, maybe. Yeah, that's about it. But on the Nintendo end of things, outside of a month here or a month there, there was always something that I wanted to play on my 3DS, whether it was Fire Emblem, then Luigi's Mansion, Donkey Kong, Animal Crossing. Even though I don't think Mario and Luigi was a little disappointing, still there's another really solid game. Pokemon, Zelda, there's just a lot of content that made me continually play my 3DS throughout the entire year. The same can't be said for my Wii U, my Vita, or any other system that I own.
I agree. There has definitely been a lot of stuff. As I said, pulling this feature together, 265 raw games, not new games.
And I think that because you pulled that from Nintendo World Report, right?
Yeah, I know that's low too.
Not to give us credit, but we might not be totally all inclusive with that as well.
Yeah,
so
you didn't have
a minimum of that.
A minimum of that. And that's a little bit insane. You could literally up to this point almost play one new game a day.
Yeah.
Just because.
Not all the games would be good, mind you, but
You could do it.
Yeah.
My little too hard on the Vita though. I've had more must play games on that this year than the Wii U. Though that's not saying much.
Not necessarily the time or the place, but I don't know if I disagree with you on that. I mean, I think the Vita has been really solid in the background, but for me, the 3DS has continually trumped it. It's demanded more of my time.
Yeah, but when those droughts happened, I got so desperate that I filled one drought with a Wii U and the other one with a Vita. So as backup systems go, they're going pretty good.
And I mean, in general, the system's been kicking ass this year. Reggie Fils-Aimé was on Game Trailers TV the other day to talk about mainly Donkey Kong Country. Well, actually, Bill Trennan was talking about Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. But Reggie made some comments about 3DS. You know, it's been the leading console in North America for 5 months in a row. And it's apparently a billion-dollar product, including hardware and software, as of the beginning of this past year, which I don't know where all his numbers are with that, but I don't think he's completely full of shit.
I mean, I can't be surprised, to tell you the truth, because it's consistently on the top of the charts in Japan, and we know that it's not exactly as much of a seller here in the States and Europe.
Yeah.
Not to mention some of the promotions this year. Oh my God, some of those promos are pretty darn good.
Yeah, I mean, we had the Fire Emblem and Shin Megami Tensei 4 deal, where if you bought both, then you got $30. They had the stuff where if you bought a 3DS XL and Luigi's Mansion or Pokemon, you could get a variety of free games. A lot of good stuff that just kind of encouraged people to buy the system. And I think we'll probably see more of that stuff show up with Wii U. I think we kind of have already with stuff like the Wind Waker bundle. And then you have, you know, the new bundle with Mario Brothers U and New Super Luigi U. You have the Skylanders one, which, I mean, all these things are really good value because, you know, you might be, the system might be $300, but then you're getting $100 worth in games.
We fit you. If you can kill somebody for that meter, you get it for free.
Yeah. Yep.
And with Europe's getting even more insane promos than North America is, because you see things like, ooh, buy three games, get a, what is it? Buy three games, get a fourth one free. Yeah. Right now, they're giving you 3D Land if you buy one game and an XL.
Yep. Yeah. And
that's not a bad deal at all.
Yeah. And it's also worth pointing out, too, that something gets overlooked is this was the year Nintendo really started jumping into sale prices, as well as the fact that we saw also the introduction now of something approximating an account system there with the 3DS that's coming next month. So yeah. there's some things going on in the background. Plus, the Virtual Console had a couple of nice games this year, you know, the Oracle games.
Yeah, I mean, the Virtual Console is still kind of depressing to me. I think it's one of those things where people keep on demanding more Game Boy games. There's really not that many more interesting ones. There were a lot of Game Boy games.
Don't you want to play Battle Balls?
I still have to break the digital shrink wrap on Revenge of the Gator.
Yeah, I didn't buy that yet. I do kind of want to play that. I've always been curious.
I
want Kid Dracula to hit 3DS Virtual Console, because Kid Dracula on the Game Boy is an awesome game.
Yep, I don't think Dr. Metz would agree with you about the Virtual Console, though, because October the 31st, Mylon's Secret Castle was released.
That was like the only 3DS Virtual Console game in that month, so...
I'll take the
I think Revenge of the Gator was
Hero
there much, but...
is supposed to have been the day before. I'm assuming that's Japan.
And also, the 3DS is also worth noting that the 3DS had the only good commercials from Nintendo this year. That one they did for 3D World is actually their best one they've done all year.
I only see those commercials in front of movies. I mean, I watch a lot of streaming stuff off Hulu and stuff like that, but still, you think I would see a commercial occasionally.
I love the Luigi's Mansion ad that they had, where it was like the kid, underneath the blanket late at night, like sneaking around their house with a flashlight, acting like Luigi.
I think I've seen that one.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anyone.
They're doing a Zelda one, or they have a Zelda one that's very similar, where it's live action with a kid. Running around, going into walls and stuff. I really like those kind of commercials. They're kind of like throwback. Like that's the kind of stuff I remember seeing as a kid in the 90s.
Yeah. There's also the meme spawning because it's a Nintendo one.
True. Didn't I hear that they're doing a 3DS one that's much like the Wii U one where they have the kid wanting it for Christmas? I just haven't seen it yet.
What, the pitch? I mean, yeah. I missed the Wii U report card, but I think that the pitch was discussed, and I think the pitch is very laughably maybe not terrible, but just really funny.
Oh, I think it's giving it too much credit to say it's not terrible.
I think that might be more effective than most of the other Wii U advertising that they've been doing, but who knows?
What advertising?
Well, you know what commercial they have to bring back next year, though. Just turn the wheel. Just spin the wheel.
Oh, God. I hope they don't bring them. They didn't do it for 3DS for Mario Kart 7, so.
Here it is. We've got to have – it's got to be an airport with people stuck in boxes watching a huge screen. Oh, is that just me?
Yeah. Or just go full circle with it and have Kevin Butler appear in the ad.
he's making the rounds. I wouldn't be surprised.
But I do think they're right-sizing their product lineup with the physical hardware of the DS and everything. We've got the 2DS, which is the one geared towards my son, who's 5 years old. If he has to fiddle with that slider for 3D, he just knock it into a setting that was weird and he'd get all confused. Then there's the middle of the grade model, which is the base one, which is, hey, it's actually the 3DS and everything. Yep. It's just like the original one. And then there's the XL, which is the deluxe model. This is a Rolls Royce of 3DSs, and you can get it in different colors and different shapes, and it's huge.
I mean, and even just all the different bundles that they have, I mean, with that, like, I think the only one that actually adds on extra money is the Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds one, I believe, is $220. So you're, you know, buying the system and getting a game for $20 more, a $40 game.
Yeah, they did that with Animal Crossing too, but I'm sitting here with the Golden XL in front of me, and it looks amazing.
Yeah, I know. I was very tempted to do that, and then I talked myself out of it and was like, I'll put that money towards PS4.
I'm sitting here with the game from the Golden XL. No, it looks amazing.
But I mean, the 2DS is something that, I mean, that's new this year, and a lot of people seemed negative on it when it was first announced. But for me, I mean, Steven, like you said, it's better for kids. I have a 5-year-old niece who I was talking to my brother about how he's probably going to get her a 3D or a 2DS for Christmas. And I think there is that little bit of, you know, kids with looking at 3D where it might not really affect them, but it's still, I mean, it makes it seem like it's not necessarily kid friendly, but it should be. And that's what the 2DS does. And I think that it might not sell, it might not be, you know, the top selling of the line, but I think it'll do well enough and hit the right market that the 2DS will be a success.
It has a clear purpose. I mean, if my son wasn't getting a lump of coal for being so bad this year, I mean, I'd probably get him a 2DS. And it's not the 3D in and of itself. It's that the 3D isn't locked. It's that slider. It's actually the slider and how it messes with the view, which is because whenever he uses mine, I constantly have to put it back. Because he'll fiddle with it just because he's a 5-year-old. And that hinge, he always twisting with the hinge. And that just snaps eventually with the kid.
Yeah.
I made fun of how terrible that thing looked when it was announced, but I really never understood why so many people complained about it when it was announced.
Exactly.
It's harmless.
Yep.
Now, the name is dumb, but the thing's harmless.
Yeah. But I mean, I just think it's a really good idea. And I think it'll prove that it was a good idea.
I got to hold one in my hands a couple months ago at a Pokemon event. It's actually pretty comfortable, but I think I would still want an XL size screen. I just can't go back to the regular 3DS screens at this point. I'm thinking next year, if they can somehow get a 2DS XL out and maybe knock the regular 2DS down to $99, they're going to be swimming in money.
There's no market for it. I mean, honestly.
I don't know. I think I might get a 2DS XL, but I don't think there's a lot of me out there.
Yeah, I mean, this would be the collector niche problem. It's like the GBA Micro. I mean, the Micro was cool, don't get me wrong, but that's what it was. It was cool, and you only got it as a piece of bling. You didn't get it as your main GBA.
I got my Game Boy Advance Micro at a flea market for $20 2 years after it came out.
This is the part where Voodoo suddenly comes back to life and comes on this call and goes, "What are you saying?" Because if memory serves, he really liked the GBA Micro.
I mean, I think the GBA Micro is awesome. It's just that, I mean, yeah, it's the kind of thing where you're like, who's going to buy this?
who it's, just, it's your secondary one. It was always your secondary one, your trip one, your whatever. The 2DS, a 2DS XL, suddenly now it's so big that the target market can no longer wield it anymore as anything but a beating tool. And, I mean, frankly, that's not what you want it used for.
Except no, instead we want them playing virtual cockfighting with Pokemon.
Well, truth be told, I probably would have bought a 2DS on launch day if it wasn't for the fact that the only reason I use it is going to be made obsolete by a $5 a year cloud service at the end of the year.
And you'll get a free month of that, right?
Yep.
I kind of forget that Pokemon Bank is even on the way. And I think I'll probably play more Pokemon once it comes out because I wound up having, I have both X and Y, but I haven't really touched Y yet. I just have X. And I beat X, but
I'm slowly but surely grinding my way through Y. But I mean, Pokemon Bank, $5 a year for cloud storage really isn't that bad, but I sort of wish they would have umbrellaed it a little bit, not just the Pokemon Bank, but the Nintendo storage system. So if they introduce another game like Animal Crossing per se, that allows you to cloud store extra furniture and junk like that, you could just have one Nintendo cloud storage unit that would handle that for $5 a year.
I mean, that would be cool. I just the likelihood of that happening, I think, is slim to none. I think it's amazing that they're even starting with cloud storage.
It is.
Very, very 2009 Nintendo.
Yeah. I don't think we would get an actual full cloud storage until we got a unified account system, because if that thing's supposed to follow you along...
We're moving in that direction a little bit, but I don't think, I mean, there was a lot of that, the kind of the scuttlebutt about Miiverse and Nintendo Network on 3DS is that it'll be kind of gimped. Like, you won't be able to send messages, you won't be able to accept friend requests through it. And I think that could limit the usability of Miiverse and Nintendo Network on 3DS. Like, I hope it works great, because I really do like using Miiverse. It's just that with the Wii U, I don't find myself like, oh, I'm going to turn it on and check Miiverse. Like, I did that for the first month that I had the system. But now it'll be the kind of thing where I'm like, playing a game, maybe I'll take a break and check out Miiverse. Or maybe after I'm done playing a game, I'll check out Miiverse.
Well, it's there with you. Like, if I could get Miiverse on the Fit meter, I would be picking around with it. Why? Because it's here with me.
Yeah.
Same with the 3DS.
Now, is every game that's available on 3DS going to have a Miiverse, though? Because if they're not going to do messaging, I'm kind of hoping there's either private communities or a central, or at least a place where I can grab an obscure game and sort of repurpose it.
I mean, they haven't really talked about that at all, but that does kind of raise an interesting point, because on the Wii U, you did have, you know, I mean, it was there at launch. So you had a smaller number amount of games. And then I think some of those communities have been shut down. So with the 3DS, when you have, I mean, 250 plus games this year alone, like, how are you going to handle that? Are you just going to have, you know, is Funky Barn going to have a 3DS?
One can only hope.
will Rabbids Travel Through Time show up as a hot Miiverse community on 3DS?
And then you've got the things like the Zelda Miiverse, where it's just sort of a general for that series one that's there just for you to talk in, if it serves. Yeah. It'd be sort of neat if they customized the Miiverse experience a little bit more for the way the 3DS is, which was, be neat if you could take your friend list and sort of make this Venn diagram type thing of, this is your friend's Miiverse and everything. And then within there, you can't directly message each other, but you can interact with all your friends together in one place, and they could all see it, and you could all see that.
I don't know. Do you think that's really going to happen in the post-swap note world here?
Well, as long as you don't allow any pictures. Because, I mean, we all know why it was closed down. We're not going to bring it up here.
Pictures is pretty much the only reason why Miiverse even exists. Just look at the Wii U version.
Well, but the Wii U version have people drawing and stuff. I mean, they're not actually pictures.
And more importantly, and if something offensive was to come up in there, it would be reported so quickly and deleted that nobody would ever see it anyway.
All right, and what we'll do now is that we're going to talk about some 3DS games that came out this year that we enjoyed, and we're going to bring in listeners, I guess callers on. So bother Carl, he's got someone lined up. We'll go to that in a little bit. And what I want you to do is either bring up a game that you really, really liked from 2013. That's maybe not something as obvious. Like, guys, we all know that Pokemon's pretty rad. And that's carl.castaneda on Skype, as Donald reminded me in our chat. So find him, and then he'll bring you on shortly. Or similarly, and to bring up a game, give us your letter grade, and then we can, you know, talk about that too. But before we go there, what are some games that you guys really like that came out this year?
Mega Man 2, no.
I did play Mega Man 2, though, on 3DS. It was great.
You know, I didn't realize Curse Blush came out, or Curse Platin can't, no.
Yeah.
That was this year.
Yeah, not many people are going to talk about, but I actually really like Castlevania Lords of Shadow, Mirrors of Fate. In many ways, I actually prefer the 3DS version over the HD version that they just released last month.
Yeah, I mean, that's a game that definitely had a mixed reaction, and I was on the fence about ever checking it out, and I think it's the kind of thing that if I could ever get it very cheaply, I might try it, but yeah, I don't know if I ever will. But I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
I'm going to go with something for March as well, but probably not the one you're expecting. I'm going to say Harmonite.
Yeah, well, Harmonite was awesome. That. I mean, that kind of, it's a thing where I felt like the eShop in the second half of the year has been a little weaker. Pretty much post Steam World Dig, there just hasn't been as much. The beginning of the year, you know, you did have Harmonite, you had Tokyo Crash Mobs. I mean, you had a good lineup, but lately it's been a little rough. All right, now we got, we got Smeet Bass on the
Smeet
line.
Smeet Bass.
All right, so man, what do you want to talk about, man?
Outside
of donating a crap ton of money.
Yeah, well, I have done that, and I might not be done yet, too. The night's still young. We'll see how I go. Well, I was in the Wii U reporting one, and I gave the Wii U, I believe, about a B, but is there a way I can give the 3DS anywhere between an A and an A plus? That's like
I don't think you're crazy. I'm the man who gave it an A. So
an A plus minus?
Pretty much what I give it, be an A plus minus. I mean, the games have been just amazing, just all the way from, like, we got Unchained Blades in January, that game is amazing. And of course, we'll get this, by the way, I have not played Zelda yet, so I haven't even touched it. So this is before even me touching Zelda. So, I mean, you know, get the obviouses out of the way, you know, like Fire Emblem is awesome, Monster Hunter, Luigi's Mansion. I've put 300 hours into Animal Crossing, Etrian Odyssey. But the ones that I want to talk about is the indie games on the eShop. I think those are the ones that have stuck out the most, especially games like SteamWorld Dig and Harmonite and even Mario and Mario and Donkey Kong Minis on the Move or whatever it was called.
Yeah, like, that was a really fun game.
Yeah. Like the indie games and the Atlas games, those have just been so amazing for the 3DS. And the only flaw that I'd give Nintendo on the 3DS is the 2DS, but it doesn't really affect me whatsoever because I have the XL and I really don't care, so I can't mark them for it. So, I mean, I like, they've come out with great RPGs and great just everything. There's every genre has been fulfilled for me on the 3DS. It's just been an amazing year for it.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Aren't you a Family Man, Speed, if I remember from the previous segment you were on?
Yes.
Does your little ones use your 3DS?
Yeah, actually, my whole family, all of us have 3DSs. I'm actually about to get my oldest my XL because I got the Zelda one, the Zelda XL. About to get him my XL. He has a regular 3DS, but he's getting my upgrade that I got earlier this year. So yeah, but we do most of our multiplayer stuff on the Wii U. My single player stuff is mainly on the 3DS. You know, that's where I do all my RPGs like Etrian Odyssey and, you know, like Gunman Clive, like those. You know, I do all of those single player ones on 3DS. Multiplayer is really mainly where I do with my family.
Are you going to try any Mario Party Island tour with your family?
My youngest son is begging me to get it for Christmas, but I've never liked Mario Party. So I don't know. I might just as kind of like to be nice to him. You know, I'm not sure. It's.
I know. I mean, I've been playing Island Tour for like a week or so. The single player is really not great. But, you know, multiplayer, it's like Mario Party games where they're fun when you got people together. And I think some of the download play stuff was pretty fun. And there's a lot of options in it. I don't know if I'd wholeheartedly recommend it, but I don't think I'd unrecommend it.
Right. Well, I might just rent it if nothing else.
Yeah. And just see if it sticks.
Exactly. I mean, my sons and I play the multiplayer Monster Hunter all the time, and we play Luigi's Mansion. the Luigi's Mansion multiplayer is really fun, stuff like that. So that's our, you know, those are the ones we do with multiplayer. And then Pokemon, of course. I'm actually trying to teach all. I'm teaching them how to EV train and, you know, and learn about IVs and all that stuff.
It's so much easier.
I don't know if you're the coolest dad or the worst with that.
Well, some people would say you ask whoever you ask, you'd get different opinions, coolest or worst.
Yeah. So, but you mentioned Unchained Blades. Yes. I know for me, I passed on Unchained Blades. However, I got crazy into the Etrian Odyssey games this year. Did you play them at all?
Yes, I played. I played 4. I got about 90% through it, and then I think something came out. I think it was right around the time Lego City came out, and I was splitting my time, and eventually I just devoted all my time to Lego City. So I need to go back and finish 4. I bought the most recent one, the remake Untold. Of the first one. Yeah. But I haven't touched it yet because I've been playing Pokemon and, you know, other games like that. Yeah. So I do love the Etrian Odyssey games. They're pretty old school. It makes me really wish that they bring a new Dragon Quest to 3DS.
Yeah, well, I mean, they don't even need to bring a new one. There's a remake of the 7th one just sitting there waiting for someone to localize it.
Yeah, there
Plus,
you go.
Plus, isn't the phrase new Dragon Quest kind of an oxymoron there?
Yeah, it is.
I appreciate the joke. However, Dragon Quest 9 was pretty rad.
Yeah, well,
and
Quest
was actually
10.
New. I mean, it was old school, but it was new.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's what I say about Dragon Quest.
New Rocket Slime.
Didn't we get a new Rocket Slime? I thought they just announced that.
It never
that.
Came out to North America, though.
Aw, yes. That game's a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Rocket
Slime. So let's get a trivia question.
All right, so Smeet Bass, we've got 4 difficulty levels here. Normal, hard, lunatic, or lunatic plus? Which one you want?
Oh God! Well, I'll probably fail no matter what it is. I'll take lunatic.
Lunatic, okay. Who are the main 2 playable characters in Tokyo Crash Mobs?
Oh Jesus Christ! I honestly don't know. I don't.
Can we give him a hint?
Oh. Yeah. Well, yeah. Phone a friend now.
Okay, I'd like to ask the audience.
Does anybody know in the chat? I'm willing to allow it.
I see one in there.
Don't fail him now.
Don is on the right track.
Two girls. Well, one says the mobs and the crash.
Donald, I think you needed to explain Tokyo Crash real quick.
Well, if you've ever played Zuma, this is like this, but instead of like throwing marbles, you're throwing people.
Okay, so I don't know. I guess people, well, girls?
Yeah,
two girls?
I think
there are 2 girls. One is mentioned in the chat. The other one starts with a G.
Oh, I think someone in the chat has it.
Someone in the chat
it's
has it.
It's Google, and that's the first
Grace, name. Grace and Savannah?
Yay!
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm not sure what has been taken off the prize list so far, but I believe we're also handling that off air.
Okay.
So we don't have you here being like, well, do you want this? What's your shirt size? You know, do you want a download code? But congratulations, you won something
awesome
from our laundry list of prizes.
Well, thank you, audience, for letting me win that.
and thank you for making sure we were here tonight.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's my pleasure.
And actually, it looks like we are at $7,010 right now.
Not bad at all. Unfortunately, we don't really have anything else to offer at this point.
I joked about doing it at $10,000, doing a 30-minute podcast with everyone, but
I think at this point Johnny's just looking for as many people to contribute. He's hoping to get 100 people on that before the show's over.
Yeah, because we're only we're getting there. We're at 69 contributors.
Good.
So we're at 69 dudes.
Yep.
No, we know one of them's a girl. She was on.
So we have another guy coming on very soon. I've met him. It's I don't know if he wants me to say his real name or not, but Dark Uri. He should be coming on the call shortly. I met him at the Best Buy E3 stuff.
You know, I met one of the forumers at the Best E3 stuff too. Oh, now I forget his name. Clay? And everything. He has a long avatar for the longest time.
While we're waiting for Dark Ride to get on here, what were some other games that we really liked? Oh, he's here. So what's up, man?
Hi, I just got back from Doctor Who.
Okay. No spoilers. I've been told that people don't like spoilers.
Yeah,
it was good. That's about all I'll say.
So who's the unlockable fifth character in Doctor Who?
The unlockable fifth character is Peter Capaldi.
Okay, so do you have a game you want to bring up, or a letter grade, or both?
I kind of wish that I brought up a specific game, because there's the big ones like Fire Emblem and Mario and Luigi and all that stuff, and those were all definitely, Fire Emblem, I'd like to say, is my favorite game of all time at this point. Fire Emblem Awakening.
Really, what makes Awakening so much better than the other Fire Emblem games to you?
Waifus.
Honestly, that's what makes it better than all the other ones for me. I've really gotten to the whole accent? Romance in Fire Emblem.
Hubba Hubba Zoot Zoot guy.
Oh my god! But Awakening felt like a really. It's difficult to describe what exactly was specifically great about it. The way that they presented this world map that gives you a sense of placement of everything, and additionally lets you do. It lets you do things at your own pace. It lets you do challenge missions with the Risen and Street Pass matches and everything. And you can go back to any shop you want at any point. And this is about to get really in depth, but the introduction of the second seal item that lets you completely reclass down and get new skills and everything, that just completely changes everything and makes it a complete shame that there's no competitive multiplayer in this game, because
they've tried that before and it hasn't really worked, if I remember
They didn't do it very well, though. It was really limited. You could only bring in 5 people, and it was limited to 6 turns. It was really stupid.
I mean, I know that Fire Emblem and Advance Wars have their differences, but didn't the most recent Advance Wars, which is depressing because it came out 6 years ago, didn't that have online multiplayer?
I think it did.
Yeah, I didn't play the one that got it was more hardcore. I bought that very cheaply a year or two ago, but I haven't played it. But I know it had online.
Go ahead.
I was just going to change the topic. I don't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, I have to say, though, that I've had more heart attacks from Fire Emblem multiplayer, the double duels this year, than just about any game I've played. And I'm pretty sure that I'll be playing Fire Emblem again at the start of next year, just because at that point I'll probably have all the DLC and I want to build a team that can beat one of my close friends here.
Yeah, but you have a Street Pass group to play with too, which really helps.
Yeah, the people in my Street Pass group routinely they Street Pass me and then kick the shit out of my Fire Emblem team because they've played through it to completion, and then they'll be like, "I recorded this YouTube video." I'm like, "Oh, great! I'm glad that you spent 4 times the amount of time as I did in this game. I need to go back to it at some point."
It's so easy to grind.
I've got a friend that basically EP trains with Fire Emblem. That's part of why I'm saying it's a shame that there's no competitive multiplayer, because you could absolutely do it. There's a lot of depth to the character building, but with no competition, what's the point? There's no reason.
I mean, that's kind of what I reached. Is I haven't gone full hog on the DLC. I got some of it, but I beat the main game, did a lot of the side stuff, and was kind of I guess I could play it over again. I mean, I do plan to at some point go back and power through a lot of the DLC whenever there's a lull, which part of the reason why I've liked the 3DS so much this year is that there really hasn't been.
The
DLC has been a little bit of a blocker for me, because I tried to go back to it a few months ago, and I just looked at that huge list of DLC and just said, no, I'll come back to this later. I want to get back to that game sometime, but it there's just so much to do there, and I'm starting to institute a new policy when I play Nintendo games. That the very first time they say, "Why don't you take a break?" I put the game on the shelf for 2 months just to teach Nintendo a lesson.
But they gave you the first. They give you the two DLCs if you bought it right at the beginning. That are the probably the handiest. The XP and the gold one.
Yeah.
Sort of hook you in to get the rest of it.
You had to buy that. They didn't give it to you.
What was it? Yeah, I think it was reduced.
It was really, really, really reduced.
I think it was like a dollar or something like that.
Yeah.
It was cheaper than buying the 3-pack.
They did give you the very first DLC with Marth in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you have anyone in your group, Darkrai, who's put over 400 hours into the game?
I don't know the exact number, but I have one of my friends probably has put in about that much. I'd have to ask him the hours, but he's done 3 separate playthroughs, and in all of them, he's beaten the Apotheosis DLC, which is unreasonably difficult. Like, every single enemy has completely capped stats and everything, and it's basically a 3-hour mission.
I don't know if the most insane activity log I've seen this year is 400 hours of Fire Emblem or 100 hours of Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
Mystery Dungeon, there's no contest there.
I think NWR's Josh Max put in 150 hours into Pokemon Conquest.
I was thinking I mean to try.
Wasn't that crazy?
That's a Wii U game, isn't it? Or is that
that was the Nobunaga's Ambition Cross Pokemon game that came out on DS.
Oh, that game. A year and a half ago?
Yeah, June of 2012. So I guess, do we have anyone want to throw a question at Darkrai?
Sure, I'll do one. What level difficulty would you like, Darkrai? We have normal, hard, lunatic, and lunatic plus.
I couldn't even beat the
I think we should give him the first lunatic plus one.
Go big or go home. Let's do this.
Okay. In Fire Emblem Awakening, what two characters have to achieve an S support with each other in order for the female to say, Hubba Hubba Awooga?
I'd be
so damn impressed if he got this.
I feel like Noe would be someone to say that, but at the same time, it could be... I think someone in the chat just said it.
I don't know if that's right, though.
I've got the answers here, and that's not quite right.
It's close.
I feel like Morgan would be the female, though, for that.
You're not wrong.
Go with your feelings. You know
you're true. Morgan and...
I think I should throw a hint in here.
Wait.
When they...
What'd it be?
Well, the hint is, the first time they meet, it's, no, calculus is complicated. That's a mask.
Someone in the chat's got it.
Yeah, the person that spoiled it in the chat was right. I'm sorry, I have the chat open. I did that fucking one. Damn it.
Like, flip.
So the correct pairing was
Morgan and Jerome.
Yes. So once again, yay! And you get a prize from our prize list.
Hooray!
Which I guess Carl will take you out back and go El Yeller on you and then give you a prize.
All right. If I can just give my letter grade to 3DS real fast, I'd give it an A.
Sure. Yeah.
By far.
With me. Join the winning team. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for coming on, man.
All right. It was great talking to you guys.
Nice having you on.
Another listener. Right. Coming in as well, but I know I saw some people talking in the chat that we've mentioned Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, but we have not talked about it.
We have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Do you guys not like it as much?
I thought it collapsed in the last two mansions.
I really liked it. Like, I know that people complained about it. I think it was like the last or the second to last mission or something, where it was kind of like, you know, more of like kill rooms. But I thought that was fun because it kind of like tested you to the limits of how that game worked.
Well, it wasn't just that. It was also the way that the game was broken up into that mission structure. I felt like the game kept pulling the fun away from me every time I was really starting to get into it. It's like, okay, I'm getting into exploration. Oh, now I have to go back and then start all over again.
I thought it was going to have that effect. I thought I was going to feel like, oh, it's so segmented. But I really liked how it's almost more that, like, you would get to a point in the level and it would be like a save point. because you were still exploring this mansion, it was just divided into five levels that all kind of overlapped over each other, as opposed to just staying in the same place for the entire time.
You see, my problem with the game was that I found the multiplayer fun, but I found the game to be very, very abstract in where it wanted you to go. It wasn't exactly clear. You would get to some place and you'd be able to see where you wanted to go. Then all of a sudden, you sort of, like, the trail suddenly just went cold, totally cold. And I end up wandering around this whole mansion going, is it here? Poke. Is it here? Poke. Not really any rhyme or reason to it till I sort of lucked into where I needed to go.
Yeah, plus the big unlockable for each mansion was a series of kill rooms.
Yeah, I'll admit that was a little bit of a bummer. I wish there was a better reward for kind of, you know, being a completionist about it. But Donald, please tell me that you're not also against me when it comes to Luigi.
I enjoyed the multiplayer. It's in the rotation at, when I do have multiplayer sessions.
I love the multiplayer.
But the single player just didn't grab me, and I had to give it up when I got a Wii U.
I really enjoyed that game. It was one of my favorite single player experiences of the year. I think Zelda trumped it on 3DS for me, but I think my top three for 3DS this year is likely Zelda, Fire Emblem, and Luigi's Mansion. I don't know in what order.
I'm still hoping we get the original soon on Wii U as a virtual console game. That's assuming Nintendo still remembers virtual console exists.
Oh, God, that would be so awesome. I do, and I missed it at launch. I had a friend who got Luigi's Mansion on GameCube, and when I went back and played it, I think it was actually for the RFN retroactive, so it fits into this whole shebang-a-bang. And I really, really enjoyed that game when I replayed it a couple years later. Kind of once I had that like, oh, it's only 3 or 4 hours and it's a launch game. Like, once that was gone and I just enjoyed it as a game, I really dug it.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Luigi Mansion. I didn't play it until I kept putting it off on my GameCube. I didn't play it until I bought it and played it on the Wii.
Yeah, for me, my launch game was Rogue Squadron, so I didn't get to Luigi's Mansion until a lot later. But I liked it well enough.
All right, so I believe that we've got Patrick McNulty on the line.
Hello.
Hi. Patrick, some of you connectivity listeners might have heard from our Shin Megami Tensei 4 stuff. Back in the summer. What do you want to talk about? If it's Shin Megami Tensei 4, I'll chuckle a little bit, and then we can talk about it.
No, it's My Little Baby 3D.
All right. Get him off the line. Give him time.
The
get
next
him out.
Caller!
Next. No.
Yeah, if we're avoiding the swap note discussion, we're putting that game to the side.
No, that was just because I was planning on disrupting this at the very beginning by just sending Neil a bunch of tweets about My Little Baby 3D throughout. And then when I realized I got on, I just had to start talking about it. No, I do own that game, though. Anyways, no,
you
I just want
to review in text. I'll put it in the podcast, okay?
Just put it there. Dramatically read the review of My Little Baby 3D.
Yes.
Stretch goal.
I might send that. Yeah, put that in as a stretch goal. I don't care. I wrote a review. I will do the dramatic reading if you so want.
Let's put it in a Victorian type of way.
I'm looking in the chat, and Patrick, I am. Oh, wait. James is demanding that you have to talk about that game if you have it. So
yes, I see that.
Let him demand it.
How about I talk about my serious thing first, and then I'll wrap back around to that.
Okay. What's your serious thing?
So this is the year that I imported my own Japanese 3DS. I have the Animal Crossing XL. And I just want to say that because of that, although this doesn't quite apply to North America, I'm giving the 3DS an A+. This year, 3DS, I've had more fun than I think I've had on any video game system in any one year before.
Awesome.
They've
been pumping them out in Japan and Japanese. Well, they've been pumping out games everywhere, but especially in Japan.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my Japanese 3DS right now. Tomodachi Collection is in my cartridge slot with Ace Attorney.
I really hope Tomodachi Collection comes to North America somehow.
It's so crazy
popular.
Considering how much A4 has been talking about it, I wouldn't be surprised if they brought it over.
I'm just concerned.
Well, we can ask Mark next hour, right?
They'd have to localize and license the Vocaloid engine, so that's
yeah.
Well, but no, that
if Hatsune Miku can come out on the PS3 and the Vita, I'm pretty sure they can get it for Tamagotchi. I just want to know if they're going to leave in the bug for, that it launched with in Japan, where you could get male bees pregnant.
Yeah, I liked that.
Equality.
Yeah, but, I mean, and they, although the two games didn't come out this year, I have EX Troopers and Layton versus Ace Attorney right next to me as well.
I have hopes for EX Troopers after playing Lost Planet 3 this year.
It's never coming out.
Yeah, I know, but one can hope.
Yes. I have Daigaso Band Brothers P, thanks to very own Don Koopman.
Don loved the crap out of that game.
Yeah, they also just released the old Shin Megami Tensei Devil Children games on their virtual console, so I picked up Red.
Oh, cool.
I have Layton 6. I beat Ace Attorney 5 when it came out over the summer. I have a lot on my Japanese 3DS. They're not North American. I could just rattle off Luigi's Mansion, Animal Crossing, Fire Emblem, both Etrian Odysseys, both Shin Megami Tensei, Donkey Kong.
Mentioned in the chat about Rune Factory 4. I've been curious about this game, and I'm 99% sure that you've played it. Any words on that?
I have beaten it.
Dude, how was it?
It was very good. Have you ever played a Rune Factory before?
I played the first one.
Yeah, I think Frontier on Wii, the one with the golems.
Yes. This seems to be the culmination of every refinement they've made in the series to me. I really like this. Plus, XSEED, shout out to Hatsu on Twitter, did an absolutely mind-blowingly good localization of the game. So I would have purchased this day one if I didn't get sent a review code. So,
out of this panel, has anybody played any of the recent the Guild Zero 2 games? We had someone in the chat bring that up.
I think I played them all, and yeah,
I like Guild 1 better.
Yeah, I liked all three Guild 1 games, whereas this one I wound up not even getting Starship Damrey and Bugs vs. Tanks after reading more about them and talking to people that I know who got the game.
Yeah,
Attack of the Friday Monsters was really novel, but that was the kind of game that I feel like, by very novel,
you mean it was about as interesting as reading a novel.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it was. I enjoyed that, but people talked about how it was like this transcendent experience, and
it really wanted to be a Ghibli movie. It really wanted to be Ghibli, and it just did not move fast enough to get to it.
Yeah, on my Japanese 3DS, I have picked up Bentaru Kumiede Umase, which is the fourth Guild Zero 1 game, the Umase's item weapons rental shop or whatever. And I'm really, really sad that that one didn't come out here, because that one is my favorite of the Guild games.
Yeah, I heard that one was really cool.
Didn't they just build that into Link Between Worlds?
You know, didn't James review a game like that on RFN about a year or two ago that was a PC game where you ran a weapon shop like that?
Yeah, which is also very good.
And then there was Hometown Story, which seemed like it could have been like that, but instead it was kind of a pile of crap.
Yeah, I actually was told that they weren't going to send it to me and asked why, and they said they didn't want to, so.
Yeah.
I've never gotten a review code.
I played it, and I can see why they would have said that to you.
Yeah, PR has never been so blunt with me. Just, we don't want to give you a review copy.
And I guess because we're wrapping up, we have a few minutes left. I believe about five or so.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit with the people that we have on now. How do we feel about 2014 for 3DS? Do we think it'll match 2013? Do we think it'll be a step back?
Well, I think that's my non-serious question, but.
Step back.
It's the only console Japan cares about now, so it's probably going to do pretty well.
Step back.
I don't think it'll be as good as 2013. I think Nintendo kind of figuratively blew their load with everything that came out.
Exactly.
I think so too. I think it'll sell better just because things like Pokemon and Animal Crossing will have a full year. I think release schedule-wise, they might take a step back, although I think this might be the year we start seeing things like Dragon Quest VII come over, because they've really gone, at this point, they would have had to have gone all in on Wii U development. So I just think Nintendo's first party is going to take a little bit of a step back. I mean, we'll get Kirby, we'll get their publishing Bravely Default.
Yeah, but I think our first quarter next year will probably still wind up being pretty solid. I mean, we know we've got Bravely Default and Layton 6, and I have a feeling Kirby will be a March release. And I wouldn't be terribly surprised if like Yoshi's New Island also came out in March or something like
that. I expect Yoshi's New Island will be their summer release for 3DS. Yeah.
Well, and do you really think there will be that big of a gap between the Japanese and the North American release?
Yes. Well, I think that they're going to have to spread something out, because outside of Q1, how many 3DS games do we know are coming out next year for first party?
Mario Golf, Yoshi's New Island, Layton versus Ace Attorney.
Layton versus Ace Attorney was spring.
Next year we'll probably get Monster Hunter 4 over here.
Hopefully, that game's
really awesome. I'd be really surprised
if we didn't. What is it? It's usually like a year for localization, right?
Yeah.
Something
like that. But anyway. Default.
Yeah, and I think
Donald,
and some very hopeful people think Smash Brothers is coming next year.
Yeah.
End of the year.
That is a 3DS game. Christmas. I routinely forget that.
Smash Brothers 3DS.
I think for next year we'll still get the usual contributions from Japan. I don't see Atlus slowing down. I mean, they're putting out Conception 2.
Oh my god!
I'm really excited for that.
The Japanese demo for that. I played the Japanese demo. It was fucked up.
Did you make a baby?
You guys are gonna make me play many that babies. Game for NFR, aren't you? Because I have a Vita.
Yeah. Yes. I think next year we'll start to see more indie stuff. I think Ironfall from the guys who did Cop the Recruit. It looks like a PS3 game.
Holy crap. Like we got an email from those guys with like a technical demo for it, and that looks insane. The game's
and
actually
are we supposed
good,
to find out tomorrow Cop what Atlus is making?
That's not a 3DS game. If anything, it's gonna be PS3 Wii U or PS3 Vita.
Yeah.
Well, you never know these days. I mean, they're owned by Sega now.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get a question for Patrick, and then we will wrap up.
Do you want normal, hard, lunatic, or lunatic plus?
Can you repeat that? Sorry.
Difficulty level: normal, hard, lunatic, or lunatic plus.
I'll just take normal.
Normal. Okay. All right. In Pokemon X and Y, what big city should you avoid saving in unless you have patched the game?
Well, since I went on a big rant about how Game Freak needs to test their games better, I would have to say Lumio City.
You're right.
Yay! Yay. And then, keep in touch with Carl after you're off the call and get your prize.
I will. Can I play one last thing for you first before we go?
Sure. Is that my little baby?
That is my little baby.
Oh, man. All right. My little baby podcast. If we hit $15 million, then
hey,
my little baby podcast.
I am actually willing to volunteer my time. If anyone wants to, me to talk about this, put it as a stretch goal. 100% seriously willing.
All right. Well, we've got to all get going to make way for the Famicast. Yeah. We've got Danny Bivens coming with old favorite James Charlton, Mark McDonald from 8-4 Play, or 8-4 rather, also the 8-4 Play podcast. They'll all be coming on to talk about Japan and all that jazz.
Yeah. And,
I think Danny's on now. Hi, Danny.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
All right. Well, let's let the NFR guys plug, and then we'll let you take over.
Yeah, sure. We are at nintendofreeradio.podbean.com. There's always a thread for our latest episode in the general chat forum at NWR. And next weekend, we are recording a podcast, and we will be having an extended discussion about Earthbound. So if anybody has anything they want to say about that, email it to us. It's nintendofreeradio@gmail.com.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on, guys. And I'm Neil Ronahan. Thank you for donating. Right now we're at $7,020.01. And now here's the Famicast.
Bye.
Hey, everybody.
Okay.
So, have fun, Danny.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll do. All right. Excuse me. So, as I said, I'm Danny. I'm from the Famicast, as you probably all know, and we're getting other guys coming in here just right now. And so, you know, we got kind of a, well, I hope a fun and kind of busy show for you guys today. We are going to have some chances to win some prizes. I have some really cool, like these Nintendo-themed playing cards that I want to give away. And I'm going to kind of talk about that a little bit more and a little bit, you know, a little bit later into the show. But it's like there's a Mario theme set. It's kind of like based on this 8-bit, you know, 8-bit Mario stuff. There's a Zelda set. And there's a Kirby set, too. And I'm just going to be giving those away for free. I remember during the live Famicast in the summertime, I felt like a real asshole. Because I remember we had one guy call in, and we were doing, like, questions, and he didn't get it right. And I felt just like an ass just for not being able to get him a prize. So anyways, everybody that gets the chance to call in, well, at least the first three people can get a prize for free, for nothing. So anyway, so with that, I think we'd go ahead and maybe start doing introductions. Is everybody here?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. James Charlton is not here yet, but we'll go ahead and just kind of kick things off anyways. So like I said, I'm Danny, and joining me here today, too, a very special guest from 8-4 is Mr. Mark McDonald, the gaming Jesus, here to save us all.
Hello. I'm awake.
Good. Yeah, I thought I was going to have some problems this morning myself, but hey, I got up like an hour and a half early.
Whoa, yeah.
There's James.
Hey,
James, and this our very own family father, founder of the NWR Japanese podcast, James Charlton.
Hey, hey, you're up with JC and the D-Dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something like that.
And James is here to troll us all, so that's going to be fun.
It's 9 a.m., what do you expect?
Exactly. And also here joining us for a little bit, too, is Mr. Jonathan Metz, podcast extraordinaire.
Oh, what's up, dudes? I asked Danny if I could be on here because I wanted to, like, hero worship Mark McDonald. Actually, Mark, I wanted to talk to you because I've never gotten a chance to talk to you on this thing, and I see you, like, every year at E3, and I'm always not sure if I should go talk to you because you and I know, like, probably 100 people in common, but I've never actually met you or been introduced to you in person, so I'm always, like, kind of weird about it. But
oh, man. Yeah,
I wanted to talk to you on the podcast so that next time I see you, I have an excuse to go and just like meet you in person.
Yeah, no, don't, not when I'm in public. I'm too important for that. Please, like,
I'll find you like behind a dark corner and I'll shake your hand there.
I'm far too important to, you know, be embarrassed in public like that. I don't do signings. And no, of course, man. Yeah, definitely. Like, and that goes for any of the listeners too. Like, I get a kick out of, you know, finally meeting people who I know on the net or even who just listen to the podcast or anything at E3. That's half, you know, half the reason I go there anymore. So yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Well, I will do that. And also wanted to be the 1,000,000th person to beg 8-4 to please try to localize Dragon Quest VII for
You're not going to go for Mother 3? You're just going to settle for Dragon Quest 7?
I feel like Dragon Quest is very doable. I mean, you guys did Dragon Quest 5 and 6 on DS, and those were very good, and I played through those. And, you know, Dragon Quest 7 is the only, well, other than 10, which, you know, I don't know if we'll ever get a chance for that one, but 7 is the only mainline Dragon Quest game I haven't played. And yeah. I would love to. I'd love to play the 3DS version. So I'm hoping someone, hopefully you guys, will be able to bring it over next year because I want to play it real bad.
Yeah, and I mean, it's from all accounts, like, I'm not really a big Dragon Quest expert. That's John Riccardi. But from all accounts, I know that game is, like, really amazing, especially after like something like it takes 30 hours or something for the job system to actually kick in, which has to be some kind of record for a game's major system to not happen for that long. But another thing about that game that most people know is that the localization, for like a lot of reasons, the PlayStation version of it was just not really fantastic, not up to the rest of the series, I think, which Dragon Quest had kind of a rebirth and as far as localization, like, just after that with 8, yeah, which was amazing. So
8 is fantastic. I actually remember very, very briefly playing the E3 2000 demo of Dragon Quest VII on PlayStation. That was the last year there were N64 and PlayStation games alongside Dreamcast that year. Mm-hmm. And I was there with the NXPR guy, and he knew nothing about it. And it was why did you guys even show up with this? It was such a disaster.
Yeah. So well, yeah, and on seven, I mean that I hope to God that they're doing it. And yeah, don't beg me, beg Square.
Yeah.
Let Square know, because I know that that John would. I mean, we hope somebody's doing it, but if we were to do it, I know that John would absolutely go crazy. Same with 10. I hope somebody's working on that, but John would absolutely love to do that. So yeah, here's hoping.
You guys are my pick for sure, but I'll stop bugging you about it now.
Cool. Actually, yeah, Dragon Quest VII, really great. I have a 3DS version, a lot of fun, and I have not got to the job system thing yet.
There you go. Like it.
Yeah. So I thought first we could kind of kick off the discussion here with, well, a new 3DS game came out. A lot of new 3DS games came out, but one in particular that I'm pretty fond of, and I think maybe some of us here have maybe played some of the games in this series, I hope. And that would be the Band Brothers series that started out on the DS. It was like an internally developed Nintendo rhythm game. And this one's called Band Brothers P, 3DS. Tons of songs, lots of...
Is that
of,
the letter P or the word P-E-E?
The letter P. Yeah, not as in urine. Have you guys, has any of you got this? James, I know you haven't, but...
Hey, how can you? Yeah.
Well, I know you're like taking a leave of absence from playing games.
From everything. Everything fun, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it.
But I've watched the Chibi Nintendo Direct, if that counts.
Yeah, hey, sure. Have any of you guys ever played any of these games in this series before?
Yes, I have played the first Band Brothers back in the day.
Okay, because, yeah, I'm the same, man. Like, I think the first time I came to Japan, 2006, I remember, hearing all about this game on the internet, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm in Japan. Oh, my God, there it is on the shelf. And, I just had to have it. And it's really cool. You're basically, for listeners out there that don't know, basically there's all sorts of different instruments that you're playing, and the older games you're using, the buttons and stuff like that to... kind of go along with the beat. So it's kind of like Guitar Hero-y before Guitar Hero was really a thing. And
the interface actually kind of looks like the music composer in Mario Paint.
Yeah, yeah.
You're playing along with the song more like a Guitar Hero, like you said, but you have to use all these different buttons on the mm-hmm. on the DS. So it's like I played the download version of it, because the original DS game had single card multiplayer. You could have eight people download it or something like that. And it was a really cool idea, because you could all pick different instruments and all play together and collaborate on the song. And my friend TYP brought it to E3 one year, and we tried to do it in the hotel room, and it didn't go that well because most of us had never played it before, and the interface is just not really straightforward. Mm-hmm. And there's no tutorial or anything when you download that version. So I didn't get the best first impression of it, but by all accounts, it's really high quality. It's also I think maybe the only DS game that came with an optional GBA cartridge expansion pack with extra songs, which is mm-hmm. so weird, but I
love
it.
That is crazy. Yeah. Well, and it almost came out. There's a lot of weird things about this, right? I remember, because I was back in the press, I used to work at 1UP.com, and when before the DS launched, Nintendo had an event, and I know they had some events where it did end up coming out in Europe. They had some events where this was playable, so it was must have been planned for the North American market, the DS original.
Yeah,
I think it was, actually. I think it was on some release lists, and then it just never came out. But it was out in Europe, original, and it was very easy to import.
The original was a DS game, right?
Right.
Even though
right.
it's completely it's a button input game, right? Which is kind of weird. But I was looking on Wikipedia, and apparently it was originally a Game Boy Color game. Whoa. Originally developed for a Game Boy Color.
I saw that too. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I don't know how accurate Wikipedia is. I mean, it's never wrong, right? But like it says here, like TGS 2001, it was being shown off as a Game Boy Color game under the name Game Boy Music. But that seems really weird because Nintendo don't even go to TGS, so I don't know how accurate that is. But take that with a grain of salt. But yeah, but the fact that there's no touch input is kind of weird, right? I mean, you would expect that for a DS game, but I think that goes to show you it probably was a Game Boy or a GBA game at one point, and then they just kind of flipped it over to the DS, which is what they did, you know, back in the early DS life. You know, that's what they did. Well, right? Lots of DS games are like that.
My secret shame is that most of my favorite DS games don't use the touchscreen.
That's true, yes. Apart from Kirby. Right. That was good.
I do like Kirby. Yeah,
it's like the 3D of the 3DS, right? It's like
no,
it's,
I like
it's there, but it's technically there, but games aren't like, you know, making you use it, not forcing you to use it at least.
Anyway. Well, they definitely can't make you use it now. There's the 2DS.
Right, there you go.
But yeah, I've never played any of these games, but I've always kind of been really interested in it because like Johnny mentioned before, that expansion cartridge was just so crazy out there. Just like, you know, 64DD style crazy add-on type shit there.
Well, it was in the days before you could download extra content, right? So there wasn't a better distribution method. So rather than do a full-up sequel that had more stuff in it, they said, well, why don't we just release this $20, it was probably about $30 equivalent GBA cartridge. And the cartridge itself, like, wouldn't play in a GBA. I mean, it's probably the only, other than, like, maybe the DS Rumble Pack that came with Metroid Pinball, I think it was one of the only GBA cartridges that didn't actually work in a GBA. It was only for DS.
Yeah, well, and how crazy, yeah, because eventually, of course, as we all know, they would get rid of that slot. So, yeah, and so I don't know. So if you guys all, with P, the thing you were talking about, the weird expansion system, with P, it seems like the new one for 3DS, it seems like there's the way that the DLC works with that is kind of weird, too. You guys know, who knows about this tomato system? Maybe somebody can explain it to me.
Yeah, what?
Sorry, what now?
So this is kind of a weird thing. And Jesus, hold on a second. Basically, when you get the game, you have access to like 100 tomatoes. And tomatoes in a game work as currency. And, you know, so it's like, you know, you can get like one song is like one tomato. And let's say you go through all of your 100 tomatoes, you've downloaded 100 songs, and you're like, well, shit, I want to get some more songs. They have some, basically a way that you can, like, hooks into the eShop where you can pay for more tomatoes so that you can buy songs. But at the same time, these tomatoes, I mean, because they're tomatoes.
Here's the crazy part.
They obviously go off. Bad. After, like, I think it was after 5 months, you have to use these. And, like, the color on them starts to, like, change, like, in like, your tomato hoard or whatever. And they'll start to – yeah, if you don't use them, then you're just totally screwed. So I hope you don't drop, like, you know, $30 on some tomatoes, forget about them, and then you'll be like, oh, shit. Well, that
I also heard if the tomato goes really bad and it goes black and, like, really disgusting, then you can only buy J-pop songs with it. Boom! Nice. There's your first J-pop troll of the day.
How crazy is it to have – I mean, this to me is a new idea. I don't know. I mean, I don't follow every, you know, crappy free-to-play iPhone game. But if somebody else has come up with a method by which you buy an in-game currency that actually goes bad, that evaporates, and you don't get your money back, like, I haven't heard of it before. So have you guys seen this in any other games or heard about something doing this?
It's very weird, right? It's very anti-Nintendo. I mean, they've been against these kind of, like, you know, in-app purchase type things or, like, you know, DLC. They're kind of very – they've been very dubious about that kind of thing. And then they go ahead and do, like, the worst thing ever. That's just, like, so weird. Like, money which expires. It's like
–
Well, you know, they had a really bizarre DLC scheme for the last Band Brothers game on DS, not the original, but the sequel that was on DS, and it had a really strange system where I think it could only I'm going back to vague memories of the European release, but I think you could only download a certain number of songs, and it wasn't enough to get everything, and you weren't allowed to delete them. So like you could only hold, let's say, 50 songs downloaded, but there were like 100 or 200 available on the store, and so like every time you bought one, that's one slot that you can never get back.
Yeah, there were weird things. I think part and there are with this game too, as far as like transferring songs and stuff like that. But I think one thing that might have been that the problem with that one, at least that most listeners probably don't know about, is Jazzrak, the Japanese recording industry conglomerate or what have you, that basically has the most ridiculous, insane rules that people still have to follow here in Japan, that absolutely has really ruined a lot of stuff as far as digital music and stuff like that, or at least kept it back for a while now. So I think you have to jump through weird hoops on account of that organization.
They're not that smart, are they? Because you know you can't rank games in Japan, because you know they're too easy to copy. But you know, music, you know, you can rent those. You can rent CDs because they're impossible to copy.
Right.
God.
Yeah.
Let's not open that kind of worms.
Silly. But yeah, I mean, as for, you know, Band Brothers P, you know, they have, you know, the same type of things. And you know, the big thing about this game is about playing with other people. And this game is freaking phenomenal when it comes to giving you options to do that. Because, I mean, like the original, you can play like local multiplayer with up to, this time, like 10 people. And you can also play online with up to 10 people as well. And, you know, I was kind of hesitant going in because I was thinking, well, crap, like maybe this is going to be, you know, laggy or, you know, something like that. But man, it was just completely perfect from everything that I could tell and all my experiences I played online. And, you know, you're playing online with like 10 people and stuff like that, and yeah, working without a hitch.
Can't you also like upload your song, like sing your voice singing a song as your singer or something, and other people can download that
Vocaloid style? Right.
Yeah.
Because like when you first start out the game, it makes you take a picture of your face, and then it like puts it onto like some character, and then you have to record like a voice sample of you saying like la 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 or some shit, and that's how it like kind of gets or determines your Vocaloid voice. And yeah, you can, I guess I haven't really explored all this stuff too much creating crap, because it's not really into that, but yeah, I'm pretty sure that's something that you can do. You can create your own stuff, you can add your own little character, you know, singing and stuff, and other people can see that.
We're not going to see you on the Japanese music charts soon, are we, Danny?
You might. I might be starting making some songs like today. Later. And I have tomorrow off, so hey, what the hell. it's an extremely well put together package. Some weird stuff, you know, with the tomatoes and all that crap. It's a little bit confusing at first, but I mean, I think after you kind of just like look into it a little bit more, it's really not that bad. It's just kind of like, really, these things go bad, fuck you.
I wonder if Nintendo America will bring it out in the States. They haven't said definitively one way or the other, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
Well, considering the other one didn't, right? It's not looking good.
The other one didn't.
Actually,
but
I feel like with 3DS,
time,
though, they've been pretty proactive about releasing things. You know, the same things that come out in Europe usually come out in America, other than Inazuma 11, maybe. But I mean, most things do, and I'd say it's a toss up. You know, I mean, the franchise doesn't have a history here, but at the same time, it's, you know, unusual, it's new, it's fresh, it has a cool style to it. And, you know, if they can work out the licensing stuff, that's probably the biggest issue. But I feel like there's a good possibility of it.
Well, if they cut back on the amount of songs and just make it an eShop title for like, for $30 or something like that, I could see that happening.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. They have said, you know, they are trying to do that. They've games before when they've left them in America or Japan and in Europe in the past, that they're trying to bring them out. So, I mean, I think that there's I think it's the music licensing, right? Like if they can get those amazing songs that they got for Donkey Konga, like, you know, Happy Birthday and Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Please tell me they had Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. They had all the hits on that one.
Actually, while we're on the topic of music, Johnny, I've got a little quiz for you here. I know you're a music guy.
Yeah.
You have a podcast about music, right?
Yeah, I mean, okay. We play stuff like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and Row 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 Your Boat.
Okay, I'm going to read out six J-pop group group titles, right? And you have to tell me which one I made up, okay? Okay, we have Mark and Danny, don't give any hints by laughing or something. Here we go. Bump of Chicken, Kinky Kids, Spitz with a Z, Orange Range, Porno Graffiti, and Mr. Children.
Mr. Children? Come on.
Which one did I make up?
I think they're all real.
Sekai, which means correct.
Nice. Yes. Well done.
Well done.
Mr. Children. Oh, Mr. my God. Children.
Yeah.
I think that's a group of like three guys and a woman or something like that. It's just weird.
No anyway. Children? Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's entirely made of children.
The genre of music.
It's men children, man child. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, next topic, Danny.
Yeah,
that was horrifying.
You need to watch this game. Another thing I kind of wanted to talk about briefly, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we had a live Famicast in the summertime, and I talked about this game then, and I was going to review it, and I didn't, but I have it all down in my head. Anyway, it's a game called, the Japanese title is Sayonara Umihara Kawase, and I guess the company who developed the game, Agatsuma Entertainment, they were pitching the game at like E3 to different publishers and stuff like that. And just a couple of weeks ago, I read on the internet that Natsume is going to actually be publishing the game, and sometime in 2014.
Is this the Ninja 2D platformer?
This is
the yo-yo game.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like you have a yo-yo.
Oh, like Star Tropics.
Yes. But it's really cool. It's kind of, you know, it's a platformer, and most of the levels are really short, but it's, you know, at first you're just using, like, essentially this yo-yo, which is, like, it's a fishing rod, actually, and you're using it. Right. Yeah, dude, it looks exactly like a yo-yo. But you're using it to, like, grapple on different things and kind of, you know, make your way to other platforms. And at first it's, you know, pretty straightforward, but then it starts getting, like, really ridiculous where you gotta, like, really think about like the game's physics and stuff like that, and how you're going to be like bouncing all over the place and time stuff just right so you can get enough like propulsion to launch yourself up and around. I mean, it's freaking crazy.
It sounds a little like Bionic Commando.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I guess, like that in a way.
You're pushing my buttons, man.
It's a very cool game. It is a very, very, I mean, it was famous on the, so there was a Super Nintendo game. And then there was a PlayStation game.
Yep.
And then there was the compilation, I guess, which is both plus some extra stuff.
Yeah, because I think there are maybe a couple on the PSP. And then there's one that came out on DS. And I've heard that PlayStation version and like the PSP versions aren't really that great. Like, I don't know exactly what's wrong, but they're kind of lauded as just being something that's not as good as the original, but apparently the DS one really kind of put things back into being good. So I don't know, I'd seen this at like a Nintendo Direct like in the spring, and I was like, that looks really interesting. And you know, it was like $50. I was like, fuck it, and just bought it and really enjoyed it. It's a really cool game. But yeah, anyways, I think all of you out there should definitely be on the lookout for that. It's probably not going to be $50, so
it's probably not going to be called Sayonara, whatever hell you said, either.
Yeah, sorry. The official name is going to be Yumi's Odd Odyssey, is what they're going to be calling this. So, but anyways,
get Lorne Lanning on that shit. You know, co-marketing and you know, add it to the Abe's Odyssey Quintology or whatever they call that.
Yeah. So I think here pretty soon we're going to try to take a couple of different calls from you guys out there. If you have any questions for us, or if you want to just win one of these cool Nintendo decks of cards that you could only get in Japan, unless you have some kind of special way to do it otherwise.
Hey, is anyone buying that Mahjong set, by the way?
That is something I wanted to just to bring up because, yeah.
$200.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, Nintendo announced that they're going to be releasing a new like Mahjong set here in Japan. It's coming out on November 29th. I think the price for it is, yeah, basically $200, like 18,900 yen, you know. Yeah.
Right, that's perfect timing because my old set just wore out. So
there you go. But apparently, well, obviously, as you know, I mean, Nintendo started out as like, you know, a playing card company, so, and then, you know, moved into like toys and other things before the crazy weird shit they did in like the 60s and whatnot. But they've consistently been selling this stuff, you know, for decades and decades and decades. Mm. And, you know, after seeing that this set came out, I wrote up a story for NWR and I was like, man, well, what other crap do they got? And on the Japanese website, they have, you know, a section for, you know, other products. And I went there and was kind of just amazed by what all kind of stuff that they have. So, I mean, they have like tons and tons of cool stuff. I mean, obviously playing cards, just plain playing cards, character player cards, Mahjong, I mean, tons and tons of shit. And it's just really fascinating to see like how much of this crap that they're still selling here in Japan. I mean, some of these things like, I've seen go as high, well, selling like retail for like as high as like $1,000 for like some of these boards. But anyways, my whole point to this is I'm actually writing up a feature about Nintendo's like other product lines and stuff like that that they sell outside of video games. And I'm planning to get that up maybe sometime later this week. So, you know, you guys out there listening can see what kind of other weird stuff Nintendo sells. So.
Well, what my question is, like, is this a plan to save the company? Is this, like, financial desperation to appease the stockholders?
Yeah, I don't think so. It's like, I mean, they've been selling this stuff for a while, and I think I read in the product description that, I mean, from Mahjong, I think they've been doing Mahjong since, like, 1964, and this is just, like, a kind of like a revamp with, like, higher quality material and stuff like that for it. But, yeah, maybe it is saving the company. Because everyone wants.
They didn't do this to appease the stockholders. This is specifically made for the stockholders because they're all 89-year-old men.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. So I don't know the first thing about Mahjong, and so I'm going to drop off the call, guys. But it was very fun to talk to you guys. JC, I haven't talked to you in forever, so
yeah, man,
good to hear your voice. And I just want to say that among, you know, all the donors and the special guests and everybody else we've had involved today, I want to thank the internet for making it possible for me to talk to three dudes I've never met in Japan, a country I've never been to. And it went pretty smoothly, so I thought that was great, and thank you guys very much.
Yeah, thanks, cool. Johnny.
See you later, man.
Later.
Okay, so we're going to get some kind of color on that?
Yeah, it looks like we have Daniel available. Ooh. Right now. Daniel, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, holy, I can hear you, man.
Crap, yes, we can hear you.
All right. If you don't remember me, I was the guy from the last live stream who didn't like Super Mario 64 and who didn't win a prize. So I've been slowly building my hate for the Famicast. So
good, as you should, my friend. Man, I'm serious. I've been thinking about this for like months. I was thinking, oh my god, and I was like, maybe let's try to get a hold of this guy. And then I was like, I don't know how I could even do that. But anyways, you're here now, so you can like win a prize. So like I said, we have three different sets of these Nintendo playing cards. They're pretty rad. Maybe you can get with Carl here after the call and, you know, choose one. But like I said, we have a Mario set. It's like based on like this 8-bit like artwork and stuff like that. There's a Zelda set. It has like basically for each different suit, there are like different themes for like the Zelda games, like Legend of Zelda, Wind Waker, Skyward Sword, Ocarina of Time. And then there's a Kirby set as well. They're all pretty cool. And
nice.
Yeah, man. So definitely... Yeah, choose one of those, and I will rectify this horrible, horrible mistake.
So, Daniel, do you have a question, or you just want those lovely prizes for free?
I have a question right now. It's about what people might consider to be the Citizen Kane of video games called Monster Hunter, and let's talk about how awesome that series is.
Mm-hmm. So your question is, how awesome is the awesome Monster Hunter?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think Mark is the guy to ask that question to.
Yeah, I could. the answer is very, very awesome.
Very awesome. There you go.
Oh yeah, like it's cool now. It's kind of a, well, it is. It's a Nintendo series for all intents and purposes. In the West, they have a game coming out now on Vita and some other systems. That's basically the PC game that's only ever come out in Japan. But for all intents and purposes, console wise, going strong on the Nintendo systems. 4 is out here in Japan. I don't think that's been announced for the West either. The last couple games, or I guess not the last couple games, but the ultimate versions of the last couple games have come out. No, I guess it was 3G came out as as Ultimate, and Tri came out as Tri, and yeah, they're really hard to get into games. The series is very punishing, and there's a steep learning curve at the start. I don't make any bones about that, but kind of like anything else, you know, you put a lot of work into it, it pays off later on with just this really super deep, rewarding gameplay and loot. It's just ridiculously loot heavy kind of game, and playing online with your friends and you see somebody decked out or like with a really badass weapon and you're just like, wow, how did you get that? Like, or you can just tell that somebody is wearing like a suit of armor from a really tough monster and you're like, wow, that guy is a badass. But yeah, a lot of fun moments, a lot of really great multiplayer things, and yeah, people who haven't tried it, the most recent one is the most beginner friendly, so hopefully it'll continue doing. The last couple have done pretty well in America, nothing like they have been in Japan, where it's just like a huge phenomenon here. It's basically like their Call of Duty, as we like to say, but yeah. That's
so, Mark, I have a question just to play devil's advocate, because I haven't really played any of these games. But, you know, a game like, let's say, Final Fantasy 13 got absolutely slated in the reviews for quote unquote, you know, taking 10 hours to, you know, get started kind of thing.
Yeah.
So like, but games like, you know, Dark Souls and Monster Hunter, they kind of get, I wouldn't say like a free pass, but like, you know, people are more forgiving of that huge kind of mountain that people have to climb,
right,
to get into it. Like, do you think, why is that? Is that because Monster Hunter is kind of open-ended and you can kind of play it forever? There's no end to it like a Final Fantasy game? Or like, why do you think that is?
No, I think the difference is that those games are, the reason it takes 10 hours in Dark Souls or Monster Hunter for the game to really get started is just because the game is the game. It's just there. It takes you 10 hours to learn and adjust to it. Whereas in Final Fantasy 13, it's drip feeding you, you know, tiny little morsels. It's got the training wheels on super heavy at the start. And so it's almost just like, why is this not, the story's not becoming interesting? And it's a Final Fantasy game where there's no reason for that to happen, right? So there's not like a good reason for it, whereas I feel like in those other games, it's the game playing on its own terms, and it's that time is what it takes you to kind of adapt and learn.
Okay, that's fair. That's just something I've always wondered, you know. Lots of games, you know, have the kind of takes, you know, a shit ton of time to get into kind of thing thrown at them, but you know.
Well, everybody has their own threshold, and I don't blame anyone. I have so many friends who now play it who had tried it before and were like, you know what? I played it for 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever. And 10 hours isn't even the magic number. Sometimes it takes people longer than that. Sometimes it's shorter. But I have so many friends who did that, and then finally, one time they stuck with it. And this happened with me with Dark Souls, actually. It's funny you bring that up. And once I got over the hump, it was boom. It was addicted immediately, but was ready to throw the game away before I got over that hump. So,
well, if you ever want to talk about the first hour of every single Monster Hunter game, Danny is your man.
I'm there.
There you go. Yeah,
seriously, I'm just like that. I just get to a point, and I'm just like, man, I know if I keep putting more time into this, I'll get it, but I just don't have the patience to get there. You know, yep. Totally understand. Well, Have you played multiplayer ever? I did on PSP with like a friend once. And it was fun. Whoa. And
that's what you need. You need somebody who is, I mean, people who go those 10 hours alone are like blow me away. That really surprises me. But what you need, and I think the reason why the game does so well in Japan is, you know, you need your senpai, you need your your friend who knows the game, who is also, it's actually really fun and enjoyable to bring somebody up in the game. So you need somebody who's going to show you the ropes, who's going to explain things to you that the game doesn't, who's going to do all that stuff. Also kind of like Dark Souls, right? Like a lot of people put it down and then they go on the net and they watch a video or they read something and they're like, oh shit, okay, I didn't know you could backstab. Okay, let's try this again. Or, you know, that's what you need to at least give it a shot. I still can't guarantee that you'll get over that curve, because I don't think it's for everybody. But if you're wondering why maybe you really just can't understand it at all, that might be part of it.
If I can chime in real quick.
Please, yeah.
I think the reason why Danny hasn't really gotten very far is because he's played the PSP games. And was it Freedom Night Freedom series? Because those games are just... there's just something else where the monsters are broken. Like those games are just so many waste hours on plenty of 3 hours just him just hip checking me when I'm like 30 feet away. Those games are not the best part of that series, I think.
Well, thankfully, actually, I played 3DS version a little bit more, but yeah, with the multiplayer, I've never played multiplayer on 3DS or, well, I think on Wii U, I did play a little bit of online, and I kept dying, and everyone was just being so nice, just being like, hey, you know, you're not like, you know, in America, fuck you, faggot, you suck, or whatever, you know, and
yeah. The Japanese players are so ridiculously generous, and I mean they really love helping people out in general, to speak in general. And I've had pretty good experience. You have to go in America, you have to be in the right section, but if you find the right, you know, you have to be in the I need help, I'm a beginner section. But if you do that and there is that section, people are usually pretty good about it. When you get into the more advanced stuff, people kind of do more it's more nice than like a Halo or a Call of Duty community by far, just because it's nature co-op and not so competitive. But yeah, people, me included, will get a little pissed if you're playing stupid and get killed three times.
Mark, I just got done listening to your podcast about the fighting game. talking about the fighting game community and, you know, similar kind of things, you know. People are just like crazy nice compared to, you know, in the Western countries, you know.
Super supportive. Yeah.
People telling each other moves like, oh, you should do this move like this. It's like, come on. You're not going to hear that outside of Japan, are you?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's something that I've definitely noticed here with all online games, not just Monster Hunter. I mean, it was that way with Phantasy Star Online back in the day. And I don't play too many MMOs here. I played no MMOs here recently, but definitely people are just polite to a fault online here in general, which is just real amazing compared to kind of what happened with a lot of people on Xbox Live as that wore on. It just seemed to get worse and worse, but yeah.
It'll all be fixed with Xbox One. all the racists will just disappear.
Yes.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Well, so, yeah, Daniel.
Do we have a question for Daniel, or does he just get a prize for asking a question?
Just gets a prize. I'm just cutting out all the bullshit. So, yeah, Daniel. just, you know, after you hang up here, go ahead and talk to Carl, and, you know, go ahead and choose one of those prizes. Like I said, there's three different sets. Carl can kind of remind you of what they are. But yeah, man, thanks for coming on, and thanks for not hating me forever. If you still do, hey, that's fine. I don't care. Well, I do care, but please don't hate me.
All right. I don't hate you. You're a cool guy.
Thank you.
Okay. Congratulations. A winner is you.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
See you later.
And next, we're going to go ahead and bring Ty onto the call. Ty, longtime staffer on Planet GameCube back in the day. And he's also one of the co-hosts on the Famicast right now. And if Ty would go ahead and come in, that would be great. Ty is actually really into fighting games. And yeah, Mark, so I'd heard, just listened to a little bit, you know, of the latest 8-4 play. And I started hearing about, you know, what is it? Final Round Bats? Is the,
yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Because Ty goes like all the time.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So he.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
I heard you were talking about fighting games.
Yeah.
Yeah, this alarm started going off in my house and told me to get on the internet.
The bat signal went out.
Yeah. The commissioner called me on the red phone.
Right on.
So, yeah, you were talking about Final Round Bats. I do go every month. It's pretty awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, I got to get out there one of these times. I promise, Scott, I would get out there, and I would promise you myself. It just seems like it always falls on a weekend where I got something going on. But yeah, from all accounts, a really good time. Were you there when the strippers were dancing on people's laps and making them cry?
Video games. I was there this one time. They had it at this place called Super Deluxe. And on the live stream, they had this setup where you could send money over the internet to buy your favorite player's drinks.
I like it.
Yeah, that's awesome. It would print out this receipt, and you could just grab it and go up to the bar and get yourself a drink that someone in Cucamonga paid for.
That's amazing. So did it work? Did people do it?
Yeah, people did it.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Did you get any drinks?
No.
Damn it.
Could you donate $100 for a lap dance or something, or for your favorite Street Fighter 4 player?
Yes, but probably not from a pretty girl.
Oh, good lord.
One other thing I kind of wanted to talk about before we close out the show here, and also too, if you're listening, if you want to give us a call in, you can have a chance to win a prize. That'd be cool for you. But another thing I kind of wanted to talk about here in Japan, I know they had the Wii U report card earlier on in the podcast, but I kind of wanted to talk about the status of.
Wait, I missed that. Just a quick recap. What did it get? What report did it get? The letter grade or?
Yeah, letter grades. Yeah, they were giving the Wii letter grades. I listened to it. I mean, it was 2 or 3 in the morning, and then I went to bed. I don't even remember if I listened to all of it.
I'm getting something in my ear. You got an F.
Yeah, it wasn't doing so good.
F-.
They broke it down into categories, first party releases, marketing, and stuff like that. And I don't think we're going to go that into detail, but from what I remember and what I listened to, I'm pretty sure they didn't talk about the Japan side of things. And that's, definitely one thing that I wanted to talk about here. So, yeah, I was kind of checking out, GAF, looking at the most recent sales and stuff like that. And, one thing that did happen late last month with the Wii U here in Japan, there is a new bundle that's available. There are two different ones. Comes with the premium Wii U, 32-gigabyte one, new Super Mario Bros. U, Wii Party U, and a Wiimote. And then there's another one that comes with all that stuff and Wii Fit. And, they're pretty reasonably priced. And, it was kind of a good bundle to try to get people to buy the Wii. And I think after the first week, I saw a spike in sales because sales were 2,000 units a week. It was just fucking god awful. Right.
Yeah. And then it went up to 50,000, right? So basically we need to talk about what the hell can Nintendo do to improve the Wii U in Japan, right?
Exactly.
If they can do anything, right? So my idea was, looking at the data you just sent me, Dan, the Wii U has got the same life to date sales as the 360 at the moment, which, that can't be good, right? but honestly, I'm not trolling here. I honestly think the karaoke thing is a huge thing, and I really wish they'd push that more. if you wanted to buy like a super expensive, like, you know, karaoke box, it's like, you know, it's going to set you back like 20,000 yen, right? Probably more, right?
Yeah.
And they, you know, you got to pay up for songs on top of that, right? So, you know, if they'd pushed that, like, you know, this is like, you know, include the microphone and just like really like heavily TV advertised that karaoke thing, I think that could be huge. I mean, it's not too late. I think, you know, this New Year season,
yeah,
which is coming up, and you know, a lot of people spend time with their families. You know, grandma's over. You know, the drunk uncle is over. Everyone's there. You know, it's the perfect time to, you know, whip out the karaoke machine, right? And then, you know, you've got a karaoke machine that also plays Mario for the, you know, the little kids in the house. You know, and you've got, and it can also play all this other stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah,
I think we should really go ahead with that.
I think, you know, if for people who don't know, it's not uncommon here in Japan for a family or to have their own dedicated electronic karaoke machine box, like you would see if you've ever gone to karaoke, like that, except just a home version that hooks up to your TV. And some of them use the internet, some of them didn't back in the day, but, you know, like you're saying, they range anywhere from, you know, a few hundred bucks up to a few thousand bucks. And you're right, like when we first saw that feature, all of us at A4 were like, oh my god, this is brilliant. Like,
yeah.
It's just an extra add-on, plus it has, you know, it could have all the social functions that the Wii U has. All you can see, you know, what your friends are singing, maybe they're gonna do that kind of stuff, and you know, contests and rankings, and like the amount of stuff that you could do to improve upon that idea while, like you say, keeping the cost really low, just seems like it has so much potential. And, you know, I think you're right. I think it needs to be pushed in terms of TV. It's almost been, from my perspective, invisible since launch, which is a surprise. And
the Wii U in general, or just the karaoke?
No, the karaoke function,
right? Yeah,
functioning of the Wii U, right? Because it has this whole system that people probably don't know about too, where it actually does have that here in Japan. It's just, yeah, they don't.
It comes pre-installed, right? It's right. Straight there, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I believe with these two sets, they actually come with like a 30-day ticket, so you can have like 30 days worth of free songs. But I mean, they have like a little emblem on the box, but they need to really pimp it out a little bit more than just that.
I think that will, you know, that will move the needle a little bit. I think really what basically what they need is what we don't know is kind of the paradox that I feel, because you know what they're going to do, what I know that they're going to do, is they're going to keep, you know, bringing out great games like Super Mario 3D World, like Wind Waker HD. There'll be a new Zelda. Hopefully there'll be a new Metroid. There'll be more Marios. There'll be, you know, some kind of Pokemon something. There's going to be the franchise games are going to start finally coming out as there's been more time. There's going to be more better games. However, I think what you run the risk of is becoming like another GameCube, right? Where it's like, I mean, and don't get me wrong, GameCube has some of my favorite games ever. However, sure. Relative to Nintendo system, sales-wise, it was absolutely a disappointment. It was their least best-selling system. So, and what that system did is it just really provided the franchise, and they had some new great games or whatever, but it did not have a game that made you think differently about games in general and the system. In general, like a Mario 64, you know what I mean? Or like, you know, DS actually had a few of them. DS had like, you know, Brain Training and Nintendo Dogs. And
I think they need those kind of touch generation type games, right? For Japan. There, I don't think, other than karaoke, which, you know, like I'm talking like a non-game, right? Like, they don't really have that other than karaoke to like get people into it. I mean, Nintendo Land was kind of like, I don't know, kind of a damp squid. It was a half attempt.
Exactly. Nintendo Land was like, yeah, it was like a Wii Play. It was like a half-hearted Wii Play for Wii U. But there's been nothing that is. It needs a killer app. Like, it needs a one game can do it too. Like, don't discount the phenomenon of what one game can do. There hasn't been a game like this maybe in a generation, but like
you know, your Mario 64s or your Halos or your games that sells the system by itself.
Did Mario 64 sell the system in Japan? I mean, they haven't.
I think it sold it everywhere, didn't it? I mean,
but like, I just think back to like the Galaxy sales in Japan, which were just like, you know, a fraction of the New Super Mario Brothers Wii sales. I mean,
right.
3D Mario games do not sell well in Japan. You know, if we're just talking specifically about Japan at the moment, right?
Right.
I mean, like
right.
The list of games that like you said, like Metroid, you know, that's not going to do shit here. You know, a 3D Mario World, it looks amazing. I think that is a game changer in the West, but
no, I
in
don't
Japan,
think. Don't get
yeah.
me wrong, Mario 64. that's an example of at that
yeah.
time for the N64 right. sold N64s. You could not bring out a Mario 3D Mario game. But what Mario 64 was, oh, it is fully 3D. It needs this new stick. It needs this new system in order to be able to run in 3D. That's why you have to have the new system. What I'm saying they need is they need some game, or maybe it's like a weird app slash game, or I don't know what it is, but it's something that is like, here's something you could only do with this separate, having a touchpad that has a separate touchscreen and your TV and the Wiiverse or something that
yeah.
you're only getting this new combination of everything on Wii U. And this is why you have to buy this new thing rather than, oh, well, the Wii U is already sitting in the closet. That could do this. That could have done this games, and I'm not playing that. So why would I buy this new system? I mean, to a lot of people, that's kind of the prevailing attitude. So
yeah.
that's why I say, they need something that I don't know what it is, because it has right. to be a surprise, you know.
Do you guys think that the pricing at all is any kind of an issue here in Japan? I mean, like I said, these new bundles, they're at around like 32,800 yen, so like about $330 or something, and you know, and then when they came out, you know, the premium sets were just like, I don't know, $315 or something like that. Do you think that's too much, or do you think that's even like even a factor in this?
Well, Japanese people paid 25,000 yen, $250, for just the Wii without any game at all, right?
Yeah,
and they went ahead and bought Wii Sports on top of that, right? So I don't think it's too much of an issue. It's just like, yeah, just like Mark was saying, that there's no software that thing. People got to think, you know, I've got to get that. I mean, if they did sell the basic set for like, you know, 25,000 yen, I don't think that would push it, because you know, what are you going to get with that, right? You know, you've got to have something that you
right.
can. Okay, I get the system and something, right? But there's yeah. no and something at the.
You yeah, know,
the
karaoke, I think
that, karaoke is yeah. kind of like a cherry on top of something else,
right? Yeah, exactly. And
you, you don't buy a 25,000 yen karaoke machine, right?
I think it's around that. It's close enough to the price where people are used to for a video game system when they want one. So I don't. I mean, anything's going to sell better when it's lower price. But I don't think that's. Yeah, a big holding sticking point. I think people would happily pay that if it was something, you know, that they thought that they wanted or needed.
Yeah. So going back to 3D World for a sec, how well do you think that's going to do in Japan? I mean, like I said, the 3D Marios haven't done too well. We already have two 2D Mario games, you know.
Yeah, 3D Land did pretty good. I think 3D Land is kind of halfway between new Super Mario Brothers and, you know, the old games. I think people kind of get that. They're less intimidated by it when they see the footage on TV and stuff. It looks more like the old games that they're used to. But, you know, even the new Super Mario Brothers games, which do sell, you know, relatively well, are kind of diminishing returns. The first one did absolutely freaking, you know, went bonkers. And then I think they went back to the milk the cow a little bit too many times. So that was, you know, that didn't really move Wii U's at all. I think it'll sell well here like 3D Land did. It won't sell like it will in the West, where I think it's going to do, yeah, way better.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the, you know, the NFC game. You know, come on, we've got to talk about NFC.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe it's that. Maybe they find some yeah. way of that that's actually like really cool and, you know, weird. I don't know, you know, what it is, but that's been just, I guess they're just building that Pokemon game.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Reggie dropped some NFC hint the other day, right? And I mean, they've already released that stupid Pokemon Rumble U game, which is worst thing ever, right? I mean, that's the first thing you want to show off the NFC capabilities is some shitty little downloaded Pokemon app thing that no one gives a shit about. I mean, they've got Pokemon Treta, right? The arcade game, which is an NFC arcade game. And what do? They make it a 3DS game, which doesn't have NFC on it. It's just like, why do they make this massive add-on to clip your 3DS into? I mean, something like that, some that could get the young kids on board. Right. Some kind of major collectathon, Skylanders type thing with Pokemons. You know, that's not that shitty thing that they've already done. You know, something better than that.
Yeah, that almost felt like a testing the waters, and that goes back to Band Brothers P. I have a feeling with that they're kind of choosing these side games. I mean, Pokemon is potentially a huge franchise, but that was not a huge game, so they're choosing these kind of smaller things to play around with and experiment before, I'm guessing, this is me completely guessing, before rolling it out into a major franchise thing where you're buying things at every convenience store or whatever, which I think is inevitable and coming at some point. But
this is a random guess here, but there's one guy who loves adding every single feature of a system into one game, and that's Masahiro Sakurai.
Mm-hmm.
Big Smash Brothers is here. I could really little
I was
figurines.
Just sitting here quietly, just thinking like Smash Brothers.
There
Smash
you go.
Brothers,
you buy, Brothers. You buy your Dr. Mario figurine at the 7-Eleven. You put the little figurine on. There you go. You've got an even like the character.
Or a cap of Pepsi. Like, you get a random, they do those Pepsi caps here. That would actually be pretty fucking cool, as much as I hate to say it. I would totally get into that. Yeah.
All of our teeth would be falling out, several months after Smash Brothers Wii U gets released.
Yeah. That's the weird thing about Oh, go ahead, Ty.
I got all the Halo points from Mountain Dew. I won halitosis.
By the way, Ty, I'm totally stealing your Skype icon, which is Mike Hager from Final Fight on the phone. That's pretty awesome. I'm definitely gonna have to steal that.
Like, I had to do that.
Yeah.
So yeah. Smash Brothers NFC figurines coming
there
to
you.
Mike Hager confirmed for Smash Brothers.
Yes.
You're welcome, Nintendo. That idea is for free.
Yep.
For listening to the podcast. The family.
You're
guest.
Welcome. So we've got like a few minutes left, right? We're almost out of time here.
Yeah, we are.
There's something that I wanted to ask Mark, just before we finish up here.
Sure.
So Mark.
Hello? Sorry, you cut out. Go ahead.
Your nickname, Gaming Jesus, right?
Yeah, yes.
So there are two ideas floating around the internet about why you're called Gaming Jesus, and I just wanted to run them by you and see which one is true.
Oh, I'm not sure I want to say which one's true. If we've gotten to the point where people are theorizing, I think let me just say up front, the truth is incredibly boring, but go ahead. I'm excited to hear the theories.
So the first theory is you took part in a Mario Party tournament, and there was the wind-up Fly Guy minigame. You got so caught up in it that you burned two holes in each of your palms. And it was like some kind of gaming stigmata. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that one.
So that's the first theory. The other theory floating around is that you got really into Ultima Online back in the 90s. Back in college, and you didn't leave your room for a few months, and you emerged with a massive beard wearing a white sheet, which was actually your curtains. And then it's like, oh, it's Gaming Jesus. He's emerged from his room. So
those two are way better than the truth, which is actually really boring. Which is, when I met Ben Judd, I actually don't generally shave. I've been lucky enough to have jobs where I don't have to be clean shaven since my early 20s. So, and I get ingrown hairs. So what I do is I buy an electric razor and I use the sideburn trimmer as actually my main shaving thing. And so what that amounts to is basically I have like perma stubble at best. And, and usually like something a little longer than that. And then the second part of it is I let my hair grow generally pretty shaggy. And so Ben Judd, the producer at the time, producer at Capcom who worked on Bionic Commando Rearmed, was kind of the guy behind Mighty No. 9, put that together. He's an agent right now with a place called DDM. And we're still friends. He lives in Osaka. But great guy. And so we've been friends for a long time. And so he was giving me crap coming on their podcast, just completely based on my appearance. And I think you can probably still find it somewhere. It's his top secret podcast. I gave him crap too, I remember at the time, because he used to have a goatee all the time, still usually does. And I was saying, like, well, I probably shouldn't say what I said to him to keep this family friendly. But anyway, you could go back and find that thing. That is the origin story of
nice of
Gaming Jesus. But I like yours way better. I want to hear more of theories.
Yeah, those crazy guys on the internet. What do they make up, bro?
That's awesome.
Cool. Well, guys, it looks like
I just wrote 5 minutes before the start of this podcast. There you go.
It looks like we're out of time. So, Mark, you know, thanks a lot for coming on, man. Always appreciate you. joining us here every year. And
no, guys, thanks for asking me, and thanks for everyone for listening. And that's so cool. And you guys, how quickly you guys met your goal. I think this is so cool that you guys do this stuff every year. So you guys, I mean, it's easy for me. I just show up 5 minutes beforehand, but I know a lot of work goes into this. You guys had, you know, notes and everything. You tracked everything down. Everyone was great about reminders and stuff like that. Like, you guys run a real awesome operation here. So, like, kudos to you guys, from all of us listening.
Cool. Thank you so much. James, you know, thanks for,
ditto taking what Mike just said.
Yeah. Ty, thanks for stopping in here, man.
My pleasure. Praise the sun.
Can you stick around for a little while?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It would be my pleasure.
Okay. Because I was telling Danny, I mean, you are shenanigans incarnate. So.
Cool.
I'm honored. So
I guess we're going to go ahead and drop off the call. Thanks a lot, guys. And
cool.
Good luck.
Peace out.
The show.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Danny.
Till next year.
Mm-hmm. Great job, guys. Everybody. Thank you so much.